In time it will eat away the wires leading from the battery to the car itself. In much the same way, if we neglect ourselves as we had neglected that battery, we find that our own ability becomes seriously impaired and we then have a pattern of bad temper. Sometimes it will be a wife who started out her married life full of the best intentions will give way to a little nagging doubt about her husband. She will voice those doubts, and by repeating those doubts a few times she will establish a habit, and thus possibly without knowing anything about it she will turn into a nagging shrew of a housewife, one of the most unpleasant creatures of this world. Keep good-tempered, you will keep better health. Do not go in for these slimming fads because the well-padded person is invariably better-tempered than the skinny wreck who totters around with almost a rattle, 115, of bones. This matter of the middle way, it is clear that one should do one's best under all circumstances. It is equally clear that one cannot do more than one's best and effort beyond one's best is merely lost effort which needlessly tires one out. Look upon it as one would a generating station. We have an electric generating station which is providing light for a certain number of lamps. If the generator runs at such a speed, or provides such an output that the needs of the lamps are easily fulfilled, then the generator is working well within its capacity. But if for some reason the generator is speeded up and the output is far greater than can be absorbed by the lamps, all the excess output has to be shunted off somewhere, wasted, and it also wastes the life of the generator which is running too fast needlessly. Another way to put it is this: you have a car and you want to go along the highway at, perhaps, 30 miles an hour. Most people want to go a lot faster than that, but 30 miles an hour is good enough for our illustration. If you are a sensible driver, you will be in top gear just rolling along at 30 miles an hour with the engine rotating quite slowly. At that speed there will be very, very little wear, and no strain at all on the engine which is working well within its capacity. But supposing you are not such a good driver and you charge along the highway in the lowest gear at 30 miles an hour, then the engine may be going 5 or 6 times faster because of the gearing and the engine will be putting out perhaps as much power, as much effort, as it would need to do 100 miles an hour in top gear. So you get a lot of noise, a terrific petrol consumption, and 5 or 6 times as much wear to accomplish the same aim as you would do in top gear. The middle way, then, means taking the sensible course, working just as hard as is necessary to accomplish a specific task, but not frittering away your life and your energy in overworking. Too many people think that they have to work and work and work, and the harder they work to accomplish an objective, the more merit accrues to them. Nothing would be further from the case. One should always, we cannot repeat it too often, work only hard enough to do the task in hand. But let us get back to recreation. Recreation, as we have said, is recreation. If we tire ourselves, it means that only certain muscles, only, 116, certain areas, of the body have become tired. If, for instance, we have been lifting our right arm too much, perhaps shifting bricks, perhaps shifting books, then the arm will begin to tire, will begin to ache, but our legs are still in working order as are our ears or our eyes. So let us recreate ourselves by going for a walk, by listening to good music, or by reading a book. In doing so we shall be using other nerves and other muscles and we shall actually be drawing off any surplus charge of neural electricity from the muscles which have been overstressed and now need to relax. So, in recreation you recreate yourself and your abilities. Have you been working quite hard trying to see your aura? Trying to see the etheric? Perhaps you have been trying too hard. If you have not had the success which you desire, do not be disheartened. It takes time and patience and quite a lot of faith, but it can be done. You are trying to do something which you have not done before, and you would not expect to become a doctor or a lawyer or a great artist overnight. You would expect that if you were to become a lawyer you would have to go to school, then to high school, and on to some university. It would take time, it might take years. You would be working conscientiously for many, many hours each day, and perhaps many, many hours each night to attain your objective of being, what? A doctor? A lawyer? A stockbroker? It all boils down to this: you cannot achieve results overnight. Many of the Indian philosophies tell one that under no circumstances should one try to see clairvoyantly in less than 10 years. We do not subscribe to that view at all. We believe that when a person is ready to see clairvoyantly, then they will see clairvoyantly, but we do subscribe to the view that one cannot attain results overnight. You have to work for what you are going to get, you have to practice, you have to have faith. If you are studying to be a doctor, then you have faith in your teachers, you have faith in yourself, you do your lesson work in class, you do your homework when out of class, and still to train to be a doctor takes years. When you are studying with us, and trying to see the aura, how long do you study? 2 hours a week? 4 hours a week? Well, however long it is, you are not studying 8 hours a day and doing homework as well. So, have patience, because the aura can definitely be seen and will be seen if you have that patience and faith. 117. We throughout the years have had a tremendous amount of correspondence from people all over the world, even from people behind the Iron Curtain. There is a young girl in Australia with marked powers of clairvoyance. She had to hide her abilities because her relations think that there is something peculiar about her if she says that she knows what they are thinking or if she can discuss the state of their health. There is another lady in Toronto, Canada, who, in a period of just a few weeks, can see the etheric. She can see the etheric power streaming from fingertips, and she can see the lotus flower waving on the top of her head. Her progress has been quite marked. She can see the etheric almost in its entirety, and we understand that she is now beginning to see the aura. She is one of the fortunate ones who can see nature spirits and the aura of flowers. As an artist, she has been able to paint flowers with the aura around them. To show you that clairvoyant powers are not limited to any locality, but are universal to the world, we are going to quote a letter from a very talented lady in Yugoslavia. We wrote to this lady and told her that we would like to incorporate within this course something of her experience, and so she wrote us a letter giving us permission to quote from it. Here is what she writes. We have altered the English very slightly to make it easier for people to follow. Here it is, dearest friends in other parts of the world. We really live in a time which asks us day by day, to be or not to be. The time is over to sit like a cat behind the stove. The life as well as the eternity puts before us the question yes or no? What yes or no do we mean? We mean, shall we starve our soul and make our body ill, or feed our soul and make our body healthy, beautiful and in harmony? Why I always speak about the soul, something we cannot see, what the surgeons cannot take out and present to us on a plate. Dearest friends, if you believe in the existence of the soul or not, the soul is there. Have you a moment of time to spare, please? Do not run to the cinema nor to the football match nor go shopping or to a motor car. Listen for a moment, for this is a very important matter indeed. In the western part of our earth, we have not very many people who can see the so-called invisible world, who can see the auras of people. That means the light or the shadow, if there is a light or a very 118. Earthbound soul around the body, and especially around the head of a person. The soul is the eternal, undisturbable part of us. It is our higher body, and without it we could not exist. I had the gift to see auras from my earliest days. When I was a little child, I thought that all people could see what I could see. Later, when they called me a liar or declared me insane, I understood that other people could not see what I saw. Let me point out the way that I follow. Have you ever noticed the lines around the wood in the inner part of a tree? It indicates the years during which the tree has lived. You can tell of the lean years and of the fruitful years. Nothing at all remains without signs. Nothing. I once stood before an old church and saw what other people could not see on the earth. Around the building was a wonderful light. Around this light, following the form of the building, were fine lines as in the wood. I looked over the lines and told the people about them. It was a line for every century exactly. It was at the old church of Rumenia Zagreb, the capital of Croatia. From that time I was able to tell the lines around old buildings and to say how old they were. Once a friend asked me, how old is this chapel? I see nothing. I answered, not a line around yet, only a light. All right, she said, this chapel is not 100 years old yet. You see, if a building has its soul, how much more has something living? I can see the aura of the wood, of the trees and the meadows, the flowers, and especially after sunset. This mild but intense light around all living creatures, around your dog as well as around your cat. Do you see the little bird there singing its evening song? How sprays of light are around the little bird, its soul flickering with happiness. But also, that little bird, a boy came and shot it down. The little aura flickered still a moment, and then vanished. It was like a cry through nature. I saw it, I felt it, and I talked about it, and they called me a fool. When I was 18 years of age, I stood before a mirror one day. It was nightfall and I was preparing to go to bed. The room was nearly dark, I was in a long white nightgown. All at once I saw a light in the mirror. It attracted me, I looked up and saw around me a blue and then a golden flame. Not knowing about the aura, I was frightened and I ran down to my parents screaming, "I'm burning." It hurt me not at all, but, 119, what was it? They gasped at me, and then turned the light on, during which time they saw nothing. But they turned the light off, and then they saw me as in living golden flames. Our servant came in and screamed with fright. She turned and ran away. I remembered then what I had seen on other beings, but it was rather different when I saw it on myself. Now I was really frightened. My father turned the light out and on, and out and on, and it was always the same. When the light was out, I glowed with the golden light. When the room light was on, my glow could not be so clearly seen. I found all this interesting when I felt sure that I was not being harmed at all, and from then on I took very great interest in looking at the aura of other people. Do you know what fear means? In war, one often was very frightened seeing the aura of my fellow men when the bombers went over us and the bombs fell down. Once, when I was in a prison under the Nazi regime, I was in a cell condemned to death. I was taken to the torture chamber because I had certain information which my keepers wanted. I saw the aura of other people who were being tortured. It was terrible, so narrow round the body, so poor and without real light, nearly vanishing, nearly dying away, and worse still, when I heard the cries of agony dying of torture, the aura itself flickered. Something rose in me. However, something of a holy force. Was there not written in the holy scriptures, "Fear only those who kill the soul, but not those who kill the body"? I began to concentrate, and to try and cheer up the others. I felt healthier. Another woman helped me in this task, and at last the cell containing those condemned to death began to be more cheerful. We all began to sing. I came through all the questionings and all the long hours, and all the pain unharmed, because I concentrated on eternity. I concentrated on the real life after this awful dream. The torturers could do nothing with me, and at last, angry, they threw me out of the prison because I was demoralizing them. If I had given way to fright, to terror, I and my 16 comrades, victims of persecution, would have been killed. We are the West, we Europeans, have much to learn from the Far East. We have to learn to conquer our imaginations and to overcome fear. As I see it, the aura of Western people flicker a lot. They are never, 120, quiet, seldom in harmony, and our disorderly aura infects other auras and becomes like an epidemic. Hitler would not have succeeded with his ranting speeches unless the aura of people became afflicted and influenced by the aura of Hitler. Hitler could only succeed because his listeners could not control their own imagination. Are you tired? Will you read a little longer? Let us go to the poorest of men, to the lunatics. Let us go to a mental home in Zagreb. Many days ago I made studies through the iron wire there looking at the auras. But they were not the worst cases. A friend of mine introduced me to the senior physician, a very skeptical man. I told him that I wished to observe the aura of his patients. He looked at me as being worthy of incarceration as a lunatic. Then at last he decided that he would let me see some of his patients. At last attendants brought in a very, very sick woman indeed. She was a terrible looking woman, her eyes rolled and her teeth ground together, and hair stood out like devilish flames around her head. It really was a fearful sight. But it was nothing to what I saw in the invisible world. I saw the soul of the woman right out of her body in a wild struggle with the dark shadow who tried to get possession of the body. All around was in a whirl, and in disharmony. Eventually the woman was taken away, and I told the doctor that that woman could not be cured because she was indeed the victim of demoniac possession. So we will bring this particular lesson to a close with the remarks that what this very talented lady of Yugoslavia has seen, you also can see with practice, with perseverance, and with faith. Remember, Rome was not built in a day, and a doctor or a lawyer is not made overnight. They have to study to succeed, and so have you. There is no easy, no painless way out. Lesson 19. We have from time to time mentioned the Akashic Record. Now let us discuss this most fascinating subject, for the Akashic Record is something which concerns every person and every creature who has ever lived. With the Akashic Record we can travel back along history, we can see all that has happened, not merely upon this world but upon 121 other worlds also, for the scientist is now coming to realize what occultists have always known, that other worlds are occupied by other persons, not necessarily human but sentient beings nonetheless. Before we can say much about the Akashic Record, we have to know something about the nature of energy or matter. Matter, we are told, is indestructible, it goes on forever. Waves, electric waves, are indestructible. Scientists have recently found that if a current is induced in a coil of copper wire, the temperature of which is reduced to as near absolute zero as possible, the induced current carries on and on and on, and never grows less. We all know that at normal temperatures the current would soon diminish and die out because of various resistances. So, science has found a new medium. Science has found that if a copper conductor be reduced sufficiently in temperature, a current continues to flow and remain the same without any outside source of energy. In time, scientists will discover that man has other senses, other abilities, but that will not be discovered yet, for the scientist proceeds slowly and not always surely. We said that waves are indestructible. Let us look at the behavior of light waves. Light reaches us from far, far distant planets in universes remote from our own. Great telescopes on this Earth are probing out into space. In other words, they are gathering light from vastly distant places. Some of the planets from which we receive light sent out that light long before this world, or even this universe, came into existence. Light is a very fast thing indeed. The speed of light is so fast that we can hardly imagine it, but that is because we are in human bodies and are greatly bogged down with all sorts of physical limitations. What we consider to be fast here has a different meaning in a different plane of existence. By way of illustration, let us say that a round of existence for a human is 72,000 years. During that round, a person comes again and again to different worlds, to different bodies. The 72,000 years, then, is the length of our school term. When we refer to light instead of radio or electric waves or other waves, we do so merely because light can be observed without any equipment, a radio wave cannot. We can see the light of the sun, the light of the moon, and if we have a good telescope or a powerful pair of binoculars, we can see the light of the far distant stars which started out 122, before Earth was even a cloud of hydrogen molecules floating in space. Light is also used as a measure of time or distance. Astronomers refer to light years, and we are going to tell you again that light coming from a far distant world may still be traveling after that world has ceased to exist, from which it is clear that we may be getting a picture from something which is no longer there, something which died years ago. If you find that difficult to understand, look at it in this way: we have a star out in the remote fastnesses of space. For years, for centuries, that star has been reflecting light waves down to Earth. The light waves may take 1,000, 10,000, or 1,000,000 years to reach Earth, because a star, the source of the light, is so very distant. One day the star is in collision with another star, there may be a great flash of light or there may be extinction. For our purpose, let us say that there is total extinction. So the light is gone, but for 1,000 or 10,000, or a million years after the light is gone, light still reaches us because it takes all that time to cover the distance between the original source of light and ourselves. Thus, we should be seeing light after its source ceases to exist. Let us assume something which is utterly impossible while we are in the physical body, but which is quite easy and commonplace when out of the body. Let us assume that we can travel faster than thought. We need to travel faster than thought because thought has a very definite speed, as any doctor can tell you. It is actually known how quickly a person reacts to any given situation, how quickly or how slowly a person can put on the brakes of a car, or move the wheel to swerve aside. It is known how quickly thought impulses travel from head to toe. We, for the purpose of this discussion, want to travel instantly. Let us imagine that we can go instantly to a planet which is receiving light which was emitted from the Earth 3,000 years ago. So we upon this distant planet will be receiving light sent from the Earth 3,000 years ago. Supposing we have a telescope of quite unimagined type with which we can see the surface of the Earth, or interpret the rays of light reaching us, then this light sent out 3,000 years ago would show us scenes of the world enacted at that time. We should see life as it was in ancient Egypt. We would see the barbarous Western world where people ran about covered in woad or 123 less, and in China we should find quite a high civilization, so much different from what is there at the present time. If we could instantly travel closer, we should see quite different pictures. Let us move to a planet which is so distant from the Earth that light takes 1,000 years for it to travel between that planet and Earth. Then we should see scenes of Earth as they were enacted 1,000 years ago. We should see a high civilization in India. We should see the spread of Christianity throughout the Western world, and perhaps some of the invasions of South America. The world would also look somewhat different from its present appearance, because all the time a coastline is altering, land is rising from the sea, shores are being eroded. In a lifetime not much difference is noted, but 1,000 years would give us a chance to see and appreciate the difference. At present we are upon a world which has most remarkable limitations. We are able to perceive and to receive impressions on only a very limited range of frequencies. If we could see some of our out-of-the-body abilities to the full as we can in the astral world, we should see things in a very different light. We should perceive that all matter is indeed indestructible. Every experience that ever has been on the world is still radiating outward in the form of waves. With special abilities, we should intercept those waves in much the same way as we can intercept waves of light. Take as a simple example of this an ordinary slide projector. You switch on your slide projector in a darkened room and you put a slide in the appropriate place. If you put a screen, a white screen for preference, in front of the lens of the projector at a certain distance from it, and you focus the light on the screen, you see a picture. But if you have your projector projecting its picture out of the window and into the darkness beyond, you see just a faint beam of light with no picture. It follows that the light must be intercepted, must be reflecting on something before it can be fully perceived and appreciated. Take a searchlight on a clear and cloudless night, you might see a faint tracery of light. But only when the searchlight impinges on a cloud or upon an aeroplane do you actually see it as it is. It has long been the dream of man to have a thing called time travel. This, obviously, is a fantastic conception while one is in the flesh and upon the earth, because here in the flesh we are sadly limited. Our 124 bodies are most imperfect instruments, and as we are here to learn, we have implanted in us much doubt, much indecision, and before we can be convinced, we want proof. The ability to pull a thing to pieces to see how it works and to make sure it does not work again. When we get beyond the earth and into the astral, or even beyond the astral, time travel is as simple as upon earth is a visit to a cinema or a theater. The Akashic record, then, is a form of vibration, not necessarily light vibrations, because it also embraces sound. It is a form of vibration which upon earth has no term which can describe it. The nearest one can do is to liken it to a radio wave. We have about us at all times radio waves coming in from all parts of the world. Every one of them brings in a different program, different languages, different music, different times. It is possible that waves are coming in from one part of the world which contains a program which, to us, is being broadcast tomorrow. All these waves are coming to us constantly, but we are oblivious to them, and not until we have some mechanical device which we call a radio set can we receive those waves and slow them down so that they become audible and comprehensible to us. Here, with a mechanical or electrical device, we slow down radio frequency waves and convert them to audio frequency waves. In much the same way, if, on Earth, we could slow down the wave of the Akashic Record, we should undoubtedly be able to put authentic historical scenes on the television screen, and then the historians would throw a fit when they saw that the history as printed in books is completely, completely wrong. The Akashic Record is the indestructible vibrations consisting of the sum total of human knowledge which emanates from the world in much the same way as the radio program is broadcast. It goes on and on. Everything that has happened on this earth still exists in vibration form. When we get out of the body, we do not use a special device to understand these waves, we use nothing to slow them down. Instead, in getting out of the body, our own wave receptors are speeded up so that, with practice, with training, we can receive that which we term the Akashic Record. Let us get back to this problem of outstripping light. It will be easier if we forget about light for the moment, and deal instead with sound, because sound is slower and we do not have to have such vast, 125, distances before getting results. Supposing you are standing out in the open and you suddenly hear a very fast moving jet plane. You hear the sound, but it is useless to look up to that point from whence the sound appears to be coming, because the jet plane is going faster than the sound, and so will be ahead of the sound itself. In World War II, great rockets were sent from enslaved Europe to cause destruction in England. The rockets crashed down on houses, wrecking them and killing people. The first warning that people had that these rockets were about was the noise of the explosion and the crashing of falling stones, and the screams of the injured. Later, when the dust was subsiding somewhat, came the sound of the rocket arriving. This quite weird experience was caused by the fact that the rocket traveled so very much faster than the sound it made. Hence it was that the rocket did all its destruction before its sound arrived. One can stand on a hilltop and look at a gun placed perhaps upon another hilltop. One cannot hear the shell from the gun when it is exactly over one, but the sound comes shortly after when the shell is still speeding off into the distance. No person has ever been killed by a shell which he heard, for the shell arrives first and the sound later. That is why it is so amusing when people in wars used to duck at the sound of a shell passing overhead. Actually, if they could hear the sound, it meant that the shell had passed by. Sound is slow compared to sight or light. Standing again upon this hilltop, we can look at a gun being fired, we can see the flash from the muzzle, and much later, the time depending upon the distance we are from the gun, we hear the sound of the shell passing overhead. You might have watched a man chopping a tree, the man would be some distance away, you would actually see the axe hitting the tree trunk, and then a short time after you would hear the thunk thunk of the sound. This is an experience which most of us have had. The Akashic Record contains the knowledge of everything that has happened on this world. Worlds elsewhere have their own Akashic Records in much the same way as countries outside our own have their own radio programs. Those who know how can tune into the Akashic Record of any world, not merely of one's own, and one can then see events of history. One can see how the history books have been falsified. 126, but there is more to the Akashic Record than just satisfying idle curiosity. One can look into this record and see what went wrong with one's own plans. When we die to the earth, we go to another plane of existence where every single one of us has to face up to what we did, or what we did not, do. We see the whole of our past life with the speed of thought. We see it through the Akashic Record, see it not just from the time that we were born but from the time that we planned how and where we would be born. Then, having that knowledge, having seen our errors, we plan again and try once more, just like a child at school seeing what went wrong with answers to the examination papers, and taking the examination all over again. Naturally enough, it takes a long training before one can see the Akashic Record, but with training, With practice and faith it can be done and is indeed being done constantly. Do you think, maybe, we should pause a moment and discuss this thing called faith? Faith is a definite thing which can and must be cultivated in much the same way as a habit or a hothouse plant must be cultivated.